The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, Beth Moore helps us know what to do when we feel the need to defend God's actions.
I don't have an infinite mind. I don't have His kind of wisdom. I cannot see the end from the beginning, as Scripture says God can. I cannot begin. His ways are higher than my ways. I don't have to be responsible for Him. He's responsible for me.
Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. This is Wednesdays with Beth. My son Randy is here. I've told you that Betty asked for some just alone time. Randy, it's been indescribable to lose Robin. I think sometimes ministers, and God knows you know because you've been with me your whole life, growing up as our son, that sometimes we focus on what must be done in ministry and we may not be as sensitive to family as we need to be. And I know I had Mom right back in here working to help everybody all over the world. In her heart, she needed some time, and that's why we've given her this time. I think it's important, and I need to be sensitive enough to recognize that.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's hard losing a family member, and I think on a parent, you know, you don't ever expect to bury a child. It's very difficult, and in a mother-daughter bond. So, you know, I know she's doing well, but yet she needs some time, and it's good that we can give it to her.
It is, and as a matter of fact, Beth is teaching on the pain that is in life, and we're downcast or seemingly overwhelmed, and yet we can move into ecstatic, unbelievable joy. And we're finding that, but Betty needed this time. But I know you're going to be blessed, helped, and encouraged by Beth Moore. I appreciate Randy joining me while Betty's out this week, and he's been a big encouragement. But let's enjoy Beth Moore.
Where is your God? Where is your... It has to be your... It has to be your, because what the enemy does is he makes you feel responsible for God. This is important. Where is your God? So suddenly we're going like, where are you? And what the enemy is hoping is that you and I are going to say, because honestly, if I was God, I'd do better than that. If I was God, I wouldn't have done that. You see? Put it on us that we're responsible for Him. We have to answer for Him. I got something to tell you today, and do you know it's going to bother some of you? Because at first you're going to think maybe that could be heresy. But I want you to think this through. I want you to take it to your Bibles, not to your social groups, not to the Word, to the world, but to the Word of God, and see if you can come up with a different answer than this. But to me, it's great news. And here's what it is. We are not responsible for God. God is responsible for us. Anybody? Anybody? I mean, just like, set me free. Set me free. Do you know what that could do to me to get that through my head? I don't have to be responsible for Him. I don't have an infinite mind. I don't have His kind of wisdom. I cannot see the end from the beginning, as Scripture says God can. I cannot begin. His ways are higher than my ways. I don't have to be responsible for Him. He's responsible for me. Amen. What I can say to Him is this: I know my God will take care of His own. And for God so loved this world, it is not a God-forsaken world, not in a world where a cross was forced into the ground and a body was nailed upon that cross. For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is responsible for us, and that is good news to me. That is good news. Maybe it's not God that's got us down. Maybe it's somebody else. Somebody's hurt us. Somebody's rejected us. Somebody's betrayed us. Or somebody has not noticed us, which can be the worst of all. Or maybe we're down because somebody else is down. And so we're just going to get down with them till they get up. But listen, two down people are never better than one. You know, I hate to have a great grasp of the obvious, but all you got with two down people are you got twice as many people who are down than to start with. So what if you're going to stay down there till they get up, for some folks, see, they've got all your attention. They're enjoying it. I'm maybe not, but I'm just going to tell you, there are some folk that really enjoy. They're down, and they are really, really, really getting some good press out of you because you're all down there with them. I mean, you won't even leave them at home for 10 minutes. For goodness sake, they might not be able to get up and get their own water. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Go out, get the mail, get you some sunshine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying, we're just going to sit down there with them. I'm not saying leave them, but I am saying show them how to get up. I am saying sometimes if we get out there and do it before them with compassion and love, but not down in that hole with them, sometimes it's because they're down there. And almost every time, some kind of hope has been deferred. Put your hope in God, not in a thing to happen. We so often, we say, I hoped in God. No, we were hoping for a thing. He says, put your hope in me. I will see to it that your joy is restored. And how? And that brings us to our third and final point in this present series. We've been talking about Psalms 42 and 43. Why so downcast, oh my soul? We've been talking about this full stretch of the human soul all the way from downcast to ecstatic joy, and we want some ecstatic joy back. And one thing we've learned, if you're just tuning in with us, is that the trip from cast down to ecstatic joy, tell me everybody, can be what? Quicker than you think. So don't despair, because I'm praying. I prayed before I ever came on for this series that God would do a miraculous deliverance through this series. That honestly, He put an anointing on it. That people who had been down for years would find themselves by the power of God getting back up. And then we learned that number two was this. We start getting up by asking what, everybody? While we're down, don't be afraid to ask, what in the world is wrong with me? Why am I down like this? What has gone wrong? What is at the root of this? And three, this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Our escorts toward ecstatic joy are light and truth. Our escorts back to some ecstatic joy, or maybe you've never had any. That's why I'm reluctant to use the word back. Maybe you've never had any. Our escorts too. Ecstatic joy are light and truth. Now, it's such a beautiful thing. I want to get where you can still see me if I get down on the floor for a minute. Let me show you where it says it in Psalm 43, verse 3. Look at it with me. Psalm 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you there, my God. Okay, here is the picture. So, it's as if God is dispatching these ambassadors, these guides. If you've ever been in another country, if you've ever been into the Holy Land and had a guide that took you around, they're being dispatched as guides from the throne. It's as if He calls them, they're personified as light and truth. Listen, go get her, go get him by the hand, pick them back up, and lead them back to the altar of their God, to the place of their ecstatic joy. So here's the whole picture. Because we're down here, we're all cast down. It's a word that means to be all crouched down. And so what happens? We start getting up. When we put our hand in the hand of light, and when we put our hand in the hand of truth. And now I want you to just picture it with me, because when we're really down, when we've been down a while, the muscles are all cramped up. Is that fair to say? So it takes a little help. Somebody's got to help me get up. And so when we got the hand of light and the hand of truth as these guides that have been sent out to lead us back where we want to be, and not like angels. I just want you to see it personified. They're gifts of God to us, light and truth. They're His own personification. And when they bring us then to our feet and start walking us back to our joy. What does that mean? Well, light, it's always in the light. Light in the Word of God is often a metaphor for God Himself. For the Hebrew people, you've heard it in that priestly blessing in number 6 when it said, may He make His face to shine upon you. The whole idea of walking in light is just like where He is looking. It would be the light of His favor upon us, that we're walking with a conscious mind, that our God is with us, that He will never, ever forsake us. It's being in the light of His presence. And it's such a beautiful thing because the psalmist says, let me find out where, because I've got it jotted somewhere in my notes. Okay, in Psalm 36, verse 9, the psalmist says, in His light we see light. So when I get back in the light again, and you'll notice that when you're in a dark place, you'll even sit in the dark. My grandmother used to get up in the morning, and I mean, she'd just go opening up all the blinds. Now, my grandmother did not have great theology about what I'm about to say, but she was just convinced. She said, I'll be in the dark long enough. I want to live in the light, amen? I want to live in some light. Now, the beauty of it is we ain't going to be in any darkness if we are in Christ. We're going to open our eyes and see His beautiful face. But for my grandmother, let's live in the light. Let the light in. Let the light of His Word in. And, you know, we were talking about asking Him, what is it? What's at the root of what I'm going through? When we get back in His light, then it sheds light on us. It's such a beautiful thing, y'all, I got to tell you. Do you remember that place in Revelation? If you're familiar with it, let me tell you something new if you've never really learned about it. But there's this wonderful climactic place in Revelation 22, verse 4, where it says, they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. It's such a beautiful picture because we're told that ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth, we won't need the sun or the moon, because they themselves, God Himself, will be the light. It's all we'll need. Well, it says that in His light, when we see His face, we will see His name on our foreheads. You know what I think? And I don't know for sure, so don't put this down in any kind of magic marker. This is really light pencil. But I believe His name is already written on us. I believe that like the priests had holy to the Lord on, they were to have it inscribed on a plate on their turbans. I believe that when the Word of God says that you and I have been sealed, we have this inscription on us that says the Lord knows those who are His. In the heavenlies, there's no doubt who belong. You may struggle with your salvation. Let me tell you, the demons of hell and the angels of heaven know exactly whether you are in Christ or not, because you bear a mark. You bear a mark. But what I think is going to happen, oh, isn't that good? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But what I think is going to happen is that when we see His face, in the light of His face, we'll look at one another and go, whoa! Whoa! Amen? Because it's like, you're going to be going like, woo, but His name, like, woo, like a tattoo right here. I think it's been there all along. But in the light of His presence, we'll be able to see it. And all of it will make sense. And we'll know why. And we'll be able to see what He did with that down to bring us back up. The truth of His Word. I'm going to tell you something, girlfriend and guy friend. Here's the beauty. Here's what sets the truth of God's Word apart from any other truth, like a math book out there that teaches my first grade grandson, 1 + 1 = 2, 4 × 2 = 8. All of those, that's truth. That's all the truth. Those are truths. But what makes it different from this truth is that this is not just information. Girl, this is revelation. God, this is revelation. And we don't just need, I want information. I want instruction. But listen, when I'm down, I want something more than that. I want me some fresh revelation. That's what I want. I want me some fresh revelation. That's what brings me light again. In that light and in that truth, I begin walking home. I want you to see one last thing before we close this up. You have been such a delight. Thank you so much for bearing through this time. I want you to look back at the very first verse of Psalm 42. verse 1, 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. You see, a soul in dire thirst. You know, a soul always breathes. But here's what I want to leave you with and why this is so important, that we bring this downcastness to our God who can shine His light and His truth upon it. Because the thing about it is, a soul always breathes, but a downcast soul, make no mistake, it pants. It pants. And it craves. And when we're downcast, we are never more at risk of turning to something that could be the death of us, because we are panting for something. We are panting. Downcast people are panting. A couple of months ago, when I realized I was in that dark place, my soul began panting. And it's what you going to do with your panting? What you going to do? What you going to do? What is your soul panting for? There's only one living water that can truly quench a deep thirst. I've got a border collie whose name is Queen Esther. I absolutely never, ever teach a series here on Wednesdays that has nothing to do with Star. I call her Star. I mean, she always makes it into a story somehow or another. And I'm going to tell you something. Just here recently, I saw her sitting in the mud, panting for water. I'm going, it's right there. It was a pond right here, and she's got her belly in the mud. Now, I know, because I know enough about dogs, why they do that, because they're cooling themselves off. But I just thought, isn't that just like us? That's just like me. If I don't watch myself in my downcastness, I'll have that thirst of soul, that panting, that craving. And instead of getting out there to that fresh water and just basking in the fountain of life, I'm going to sit in that mud till I cool off. There's another way. There's another way. And Jesus has.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how Beth, well, she touches, it's more than nerves. She touches areas of sensitivity and areas we all identify with. I think that's probably a little bit of what, you know, Betty's going through right now. And you know, God's going to give her that comfort. And Randy, I want you to know you've been such a source of comfort to us during the time of Bobbin, you know, losing her. I feel like if you didn't read, if you don't follow JamesRobison.net, I wish you asked for it every week. Randy helps edit. He's wonderful with sentence structure and grammar and correction, and he helps me, and he's got incredible insight. But we wrote about Robin. Goodbye for now, sweet Robin. If you'll go and look at the columns, and go back to the very first of January and read it, you'll read a song that he sang to our daughter. And the words are very powerful, and it really goes along the lines of what Beth's talking about, too. We really have to hold on when we face trials, and we all face them. And we need one another to go through that. And I really appreciate the way God's used you to be a comfort to all of us.
Glad to be there. A hard time, but I'm glad that I could, you know, offer whatever comfort I could.
You know, you've been to the mission field with us a lot.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you something right now, Randy. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but we've got a beautiful sight. You're going to see the desperation and the pain, what seems to be totally impossible. And then you're going to see the miracle that your love, people just like you, what you make possible, what you make reality.
When we met Jacob and his grandmother a year and a half ago, our hearts sank. What his frail body would have to overcome seemed almost insurmountable. His story represented the plight of so many here in Africa, and when we shared it, you responded. We knew your response had saved thousands of lives. But when our team returned to find Jacob, we still couldn't help but fear the worst. We drove anxiously through the village in search of him, and what we found blew us away. Were it not for recognizing his grandmother, Marie, we wouldn't have believed it was him, a little boy, running, playing, laughing. Your response had miraculously delivered Jacob this new chance at life. Even Marie had long forgotten how truly close Jacob was to death until we showed her his story. Jacob is the proof that mission feeding truly can take a child who looks like this and turn him into this. Your response was the difference. Now, if Jacob was the only one, we could say our work here is done. But you and I both know it's not. Like Jacob, these children need your help. Let's give these children the same chance at life you gave Jacob.
You know, right there in that same place, our mission workers held little children that were like Jacob, and they didn't make it. It breaks our heart. But Jacob, and I think it's really important for you to know this, Jacob's story, and Randy, you know this is true because you've seen it. What happened to Jacob represents millions, now, I said millions of little children like that who were going to die. They were dying miserably, painfully. And Randy, now they're smiling, now they're playing.
Yeah, we could not do what we do if it weren't for the stories of little boys like Jacob. It's hard, as hard as it is to watch these images on TV, it's harder to go there and walk among these people, these children who are starving and dying, and then fly back to the States and have a nice meal with your family. I mean, that tears at you. But we know that we are seeing stories over and over of little boys like Jacob who are given that chance. They're given the bowl of soup, they respond, and they have life. That shot of him throwing up the ball in the air.
That's great.
Just playing like a little kid should. That's why we do what we do, but we can't do it without you.
A lot of the things we take for granted, like Randy says, we come back and eat. I don't feel guilty about eating. By the way, I don't feel guilty about having the water. I feel concerned about people who don't have the food or don't have the water. And guess what? I don't just have concern, sit around saying, I wish something could be done. I do something about it. And I cannot give water to everybody, and I cannot give food to everybody, but I can give food to some. And this is where mission feeding is so beautiful. And I think about the beauty of this. $30, and you think, well, you can spend $30. $50 or $100 will give 3, 5, or 10 children food for months. For months. And now we've got a matching gift. And what you give right now, online, or by dialing that number and taking your bank card or writing a check, whatever you give will be matched. It'll be doubled. A $100 gift jumps to $200. 10 children being helped jumps to $20. If there's any way you could help us care for 100 children with a $1,000 gift, it immediately enables us to care for 200. Would you reach out and touch someone with love right now and dial that number? Would you do it? Or would you go online and make your gift there? Whatever you're doing, if you write a check made to life, do call us. Tell us what you're sending. Would you do that? It's so important that we let the missionaries know help is on the way, and your help, because of love, will be doubled. Thank you for making that gift. Thank you for making that life-giving call so we can see Jacob's story repeated over and over and over because of the love you shared. Thank you so much for doing it.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life.
In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be double to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you A Good Word for a Great Day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Randy and I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for your help. A Good Word for a Great Day. I think you know that when we send you a gift, it's not to get a gift. We send you a gift because we love you, because we want you to have God's Word, a good word for every day. And we want to thank you for your gift. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for praying for Betty. Thanks for praying for our family. We love you. You know, if you need prayer, you can always call. And then remember, we want to see you at the anniversary conference, the 18th through the 20th of July. Awaken now. Go online, lifetoday.org, and pre-register. Plan to be with us.
Join James and Betty Robinson July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, Pastor Tony Evans, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, New York Times best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews, and many more, including musical guests such as Big Daddy Weave. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robinson. Go to lifetoday.org. Tomorrow, James challenges you to live by the Word of God.
Signs follow the Word. If you follow signs, you miss the Word.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.